And we're going to start with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray especially tonight for our country. The country is afraid. There's so many unknowables that lie ahead. It's a whole different world. And we're praying tonight that you will calm us down. And here in this service, help us to listen very carefully and quietly as we present an old, old story that is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to talk about a young man that Jesus told about, or at least happened to him. He was a rich young man, and he came running to Jesus, and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, people are searching today for something to believe in. After September 11th, our world changed. Your world changed. Our future changed. I read in the Fresno Bee last week a column by a student at Stanford University. The headline was, "Grief and Fear Change Life for Students." The student wrote, "Things are different now. As college students, we're struggling, like the rest of the nation, to move on. We know life will change for us. To an extent, it already has. We still are grieving like the rest of the nation, and we're so confused, and I'm scared because the mood on campus has changed so dramatically. Professors last spring had all the answers, and now in October, they're as confused and helpless as we students. For most of us, our day-to-day activities still are the same. We go to class, we take lecture notes, we study for exams, and yet on the inside, we feel so different. We're anxious about the future. Is that the way you feel tonight? Like that student at Stanford University? There's a lot of uncertainty tonight, but there are certain things that never change. Maybe that's why you've come here. The person I want to talk about tonight was young. He longed to discover fulfillment and meaning and purpose in life, and he wanted it now. He was a leader, young, leader, and rich. The same is true for many of you. You're a leader at home, at school, at work, at church, among your friends. Sometimes that brings a feeling of importance. But some of you may be the most responsible person in your family, and that often feels like a burden too heavy to carry. This young man knew what it was like to have others look at him and depend on him. He was very rich. Instead of asking, "Can I afford it?" his only question may have been, "Do I want it?" The Bible tells us that he was searching. Even with his youth and his money and his responsibility, this young man knew that the most important thing was missing in his life. He was looking for eternal life, not just existence, but life with a capital L. And in the midst of all this war and trouble that we're in, and it will probably last through your lifetime, it's going to change your social life. It's going to change probably who you marry. It's going to change your whole future. This is a long struggle we're involved in. and you have been trying to find an answer to it all. And you've been looking at the wrong places, some of you. The young man story, he was seeking purpose in all the wrong places. What was the purpose of his existence? What was the meaning of his existence? And we ask ourselves, why am I here? What is the purpose of my existence on this little planet? And then many of you are looking for fulfillment in your life. When we fill our lives with what the world has to offer, we have the illusion of satisfaction. Some are looking for it in spirituality. Some are looking for it chemically. They turn to drugs or alcohol. So many statistics I could quote that I'm not going to because I think you get tired of hearing them. Some try emotionally and they turn to sexual relationships. I'm convinced that the dramatic increase of sexual activity among young people is less about physical pleasure and more about a search for acceptance and intimacy and emotional and fulfillment. But people find these relationships do not provide the emotional and spiritual closeness they thought they would find over the long haul. Perhaps these are some of the same reasons that drove this young man in the story when he saw Jesus to seek advice and counsel from Jesus Christ. We know that when he sought counsel, he came to the right person. He came to Jesus. You couldn't come to a better person than Jesus to get counsel. Can you imagine that? The person of Jesus Christ counseling you? Then he came the right way. The scripture says he ran to Jesus. He was in a hurry, and that's the way we ought to be. You're young. You have your whole life probably in front of you. And now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't wait any longer. Most people that come to Christ come when they're young. And you're struggling inside of you whether to surrender your life to Christ or not. He came at the right time. He came when he was young. He came with the right attitude. He knelt down before Christ, humility. He didn't have all the answers. And he said, Rabbi, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He asked the right question. That's a question that we all ask from time to time. How do we know that we're going to go to heaven? Because we know we're going to die. We might die in a plane crash or automobile crash, or we may die of a heart attack or cancer. We never know. He asked the right question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he got the right answer. Jesus told him what to do. Jesus looked at him and it says that he loved him. Jesus looks at you tonight and says, I love you. You might have done all the wrong things and you might have gotten all mixed up in your life. But he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. That's why he went to the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross. He went to the cross because you have sinned against God and you are bound for destruction and judgment. Now is the time to make a decision because there are two roads in life. A broad road, he said, and a narrow road. And you have to make the choice of which one you're going to be on. But you know what this young man did? He got all the right things, but he did the wrong thing. He turned away from Jesus. The scripture says he turned away grieved and sad. No one ever turns away from Jesus happy. He was very sad because he had great possessions. He didn't want to give up anything, because Jesus went on to explain, give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. But the young man stood at the crossroads of his life and turned his back on the narrow road. That narrow road is the way of the cross. It's the way that Jesus asks us to take.